1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
It's the time of the week. It's the time of the day, time of the week when we get to talk music news with the music expert, our very own music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
All right. Ready for a big home opener football weekend?
It is the home opener.
I just don't want it to ruin your Rosh Hashanah weekend.
Listen, the Lions. The Lions are a far cry from being able to ruin.
God, they haven't been though.
I don't drink the Kool-Aid anymore.
They've been a problem for the Packers, especially
That's true. Very recently.
They
do play them well, so you can't necessarily rule it out, but you can rule it out. enjoy your exhibition game.
Let me just run this out there, and then we'll get to music news.
Okay.
The Lions have given the Packers fits over the last 2 or 3 years, and the Packers have won their last 8 home openers in a row. This screams upset. This screams Lions win to me, don't you think?
If it were any team other than the Lions, you'd have a point.
Wow.
Are you this down on the Lions because they blew a fourth quarter lead, a sizable fourth quarter lead?
But it's year in and year out of that. I mean, the best thing about the season we've had is there was no preseason to stoke the optimism. And the best thing about last week's game was there's no optimism continuing into the season. We know what we're dealing with and we're done.
You going to fire your coach during the season this year?
No, they won't.
They're not.
I think they're going to get the COVID. He and the general manager, both New England guys are going to get the COVID bye.
Really?
This season.
Why would that be a reason?
Just because they'll be
because it's such a weird year.
Lions management is so slow to change and so change averse that they'll give them that benefit of the doubt.
All right. I don't know if we save. Let's just start out with the Jimi Hendrix thing.
Sure.
50. Yeah. Go ahead.
50 years today since he passed away in London, ending what was already an accomplished career in 4 years of his own recording. And, who knew what promise that career held? Who knew what Hendrix would have done in the next 50 years and may well still have been around today playing? But he passed away, and it remains one of the great mysteries in rock. Most recently, one of his roadies, James Tappy Wright, published a book, Rock Roadie, in which he claims that Hendrix's manager, Michael Jeffrey, killed Hendrix, because he felt like Hendrix was going to be leaving him. And he had taken out a life insurance policy on Hendrix, with himself, the manager, as the $2 million beneficiary. And so this roadie claims in the book that the manager said to him, that he did it, he did it because Hendrix was going to leave him and he wanted to collect the money. He was worth more to him than he was dead.
If you're going to write a book that says that, you better be sure that you can prove that this guy killed Jimi Hendrix, right?
The good thing is when all parties are dead.
But there's still heirs who will come after you.
And it's been discounted. This has been rumored over the years. But it's largely been discounted, but it's out there again. And there were because Hendrix's girlfriend, who was with him at the time of the incident, claimed he was alive when they put him in the ambulance. So then what happened after that? The ambulance people say he died on the way to the hospital. Certainly plausible. So my guess is the truth is, like so many of these great mythological deaths, is he did die of exactly what he said he did. Which was, choking on his own vomit after overdosing on pills and drinking too much wine.
Well, it doesn't hurt to have a storyline like that when you're writing a book about somebody, right?
Or when you continue to mine the vaults and the archives for new releases. No, mystery helps sell.
Just keep the name in the news shuffle. Just keep moving through the media.
Without a doubt, and they're releasing, like we talked about, I think, last week they're releasing the documentary and recording from his appearance in Hawaii, back in '68. So that kind of thing only helps remind people of these other things that are coming out.
How much stuff is do they still have of Jimi Hendrix's that, you know, is in a vault somewhere as far as tapes?
Yeah, seemingly an endless bounty
okay.
of material. You half wonder if there aren't, like, live musicians in some hidden room cranking out what they're saying is new Hendrix material.
Right, because he died at 27. It was 50 years ago. You would think that they'd pretty much emptied that vault out by now.
But all indications are this guy was like Prince, you know, back then, or I guess we should say Prince was like Hendrix. But, you know, you get him in a studio, and he would spend days and weeks, and he would record. And so it seems like there's an endless amount of outtakes and demos and, you know, half-finished, half-baked songs. So say what you will about whether they should come out or not, or whether he would have wanted them to come out or not. The family that's in control of the archives now is vested in them coming out, and from all indications, there's an audience appetite for them to be released.
How is whoever is controlling the archives related to Jimi Hendrix?
Initially it was his father who won the rights back. This is going back, boy, we're probably going back a decade, 12 years or more. So his father, Al Hendrix, won the rights to the music back, and, you know, through a lot of legal maneuvering, and then, you know, partnered with Jimmy's half-sister, Janie Hendrix, who now is the CEO of Experience Hendrix Limited, and they put out all the music and the books and the okay. films, and they actually do a good, you know, they say what you will, again, about whether we feel this should come out or not, the product you get from them is a good product in terms of design, in terms of audio quality and everything. They're really doing a nice job, so you don't necessarily feel ripped off by anything.
All right. Okay. How do you feel about a tie for Entertainer of the Year?
That was fun.
And yeah. Brian has a story about...
Well, there was a reaction. It was like getting hit from both ends of the canoe paddle. It was like one was mad because Carrie Underwood didn't win, and they couldn't give the Entertainer of the Year award to a woman who was just the Entertainer of the Year in her own right. They had to get a man in there. Another was mad because
it's like a participation.
They shared it. It's a juice box.
Yeah. Well, you know, kind of guess what? It was a tie, no matter what. It was a tie, and you know, you can say that about Carrie, but you know, listen, she won the Entertainer of the Year all by herself twice before. So it's not like the ACMs don't give.
What is Entertainer of the Year based on? Because nobody was out entertaining this year.
Well, last year. Don't forget, this encompasses 2019
okay.
as well. The ACM show was delayed, you know, this year because of the virus. So it took into account some of 2020. My big thing was when Luke Combs is out there winning everything else, like Album of the Year, Male Entertainer of the Year, how does he not win Performer of the Year? How does he not win the Entertainer of the Year award? How did that come down? How do you cast a ballot where you're voting for this one guy in all these other categories, and when you come to the big award, you're not voting for him? That, to me, was the upset.
How many other awards did Luke Combs win?
At least two, and he might have won a third. I don't have the list right in front of me, but he was definitely shaping up to be the night's big winner. So it yeah. was an interesting show, though. I don't know if you yeah. watched or not, but, you know, another virtual music award show.
You know, maybe it's all part of the idea of spreading it around. Well, we'll give Loke these two
yeah.
and then sure. these
spread,
two that.
Spread the performances around Nashville, spread the awards around people.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know what? At the end of the day, I don't care who wins the awards. I really don't. Do you?
You know, this award, not so much. I care more about the Grammys.
Okay.
You know, and those are the awards that have the, you know, this is a Dick Clark, the ACMs are a Dick Clark production. I think the CMAs, the Country Music Association Awards, may have a little more credibility.
Okay.
The ACMs are kind of like the American Music Awards of country.
It seems weird about it to me is it's already been a goofed up year.
Right.
And these things are supposed to make the year seem more normal when you go about having awards.
And you got this.
And then they throw this in there and they just make it more goofed up.
Although, isn't it more fun if everything gets messed up? I mean, you know, and it gives us a lot to talk about.
It does. Yeah. Exactly. I was going to say, it doesn't hurt as far as content goes when people are up in arms about Carrie Underwood.
They're serving us, so bring it on.
Here's a question. If you're Lady Antebellum and you shorten your name to Lady A, when they say, well, what does the A stand for in Lady A, you still have to say antebellum, right?
Correct.
Now, you've still got that hanging over your head, and you're being sued by somebody who was Lady A before you. Why not just change the name altogether? Why not just be Lady? Why, you know...
I like that.
How about
like
80?
Because then Kenny,
chop the L
then
off, too.
Wrote Kenny Rogers' song is going to see.
Yeah.
Right.
This is an interesting one because, okay, two Lady A's now. One, the former Lady Antebellum. The other, you know, Lady A, a Seattle blues singer, Anita White, who had been, you know, who has been performing as Lady A for two decades. However, here's the two sides of the coin. In terms of the legalities, the former Lady Antebellum is on high ground. They had copyrighted Lady A. They just weren't using Lady A because the whole world referred to them as Lady A from very early in their career.
Right. That was a common nickname for them, like T Swift.
Right. So they filed, you know, a trademark on Lady A, and Lady A Seattle did not. So strictly legal, Lady A's got it locked up. However, the optics are really bad. This is a superstar band picking on a, you know, a small artist. And that makes it a little bit difficult.
What does she want, $1 million?
I think it was more. I think it was more like in the $10 million range. Yeah, former Lady Antebellum. Why don't we call it Band Lady A?
Band Lady A came out
of the box saying, we're going to make this work. But then backed off and sued Woman Lady A, Person Lady A, because, you know, the demands were too high. You know, their Band Lady A's feeling is, look, we came into this in good faith. We wanted to help her out, maybe even record a collaboration, you know, do something to help differentiate, but she came back asking for too much, so no, we're not going to, and we're Lady A from here on out.
I have two names I'd like to suggest that would keep the flavor of the group intact and avoid all lawsuits.
Are you sure you want to say these out loud before
Yes, I do. I would just like to put them out there and suggest Lady Chicks or Chick Lady.
It can't be Lady Dixie or Dixie Lady.
Right, we can't be Dixie Ladies, because, that's just going back through the antebellum thing again.
Antebellum right. Chick, antebellum, Dixie can't be, antebellum.
You can't do that.
No.
Yeah, can't so be Dixie antebellum.
I'd suggest Lady
Dixie
Chicks.
Dixie antebellum would be, I think, the worst.
Dixie antebellum.
Kid Rock can rename himself Dixie antebellum.
Right, the double stack of whatever you got going on there. Lady Chicks, that's my first choice.
We'll see how this sorts out. I mean, I really do believe if it goes through the courts, Person Lady A doesn't have a chance.
Really? Okay.
No. Band Lady A had done everything right legally.
Okay. Yeah, but
so,
I think
being first didn't matter.
But they want to look. You know, it's all about public opinion too.
Well, yeah. You don't want to look like you're the bad guy.
Right. You don't want to go. Well, you crushed him with all your money. Why didn't you just give her the money?
That all said. I think, you know, the fans of Band Lady A, you know, if let's say they have 1 million fans, 999,997 are going to stay with them.
All right, let's get out of the courtroom. Let's talk about something happy. Sammy Hagar is doing a fifth season of Rock and Roll Road Trip.
Yeah, this is a fun, you know, I've always found this.
Sammy is fun.
A fun show. Sammy's a fun guy anyway. So premieres October 4th, 8 o'clock on Axis, fifth season of Rock and Roll Road Trip. It's going to start with the second show, October 11th, is going to be a tribute to Eddie Money. Sammy got a bunch of people together, and they played some Eddie Money songs and are going to talk about them. Other guests lined up for the season are Pat Monahan of Train, Chris Daughtry, Kenny Aronoff, the drummer, you know, Steve Lukather from Toto. So I think, you know, it should be another fun season. Sammy's is kind of the flip side of the Big Interview. You know, when Dan Rather's thing is very serious but very insightful, Sammy Hagar's thing is very insightful, not at all serious.
I would throw Daryl's House in between Sammy and Dan Rather.
Daryl's House is a little more Daryl's House is a little more performance oriented. But he gets that's a very insightful show too.
Yeah. And they'll just bitch about all the new ways of recording is kind of a common theme with Daryl, it seems like.
Oh yeah.
Okay, since you brought up Eddie Money, he's being sued. He's in the ground and he's being sued by a former guitarist.
He's being sued by his former guitarist. Guy's name is, I believe, John Nelson. Yes, it is. And he is suing Eddie for $1.5 million in unpaid royalties. He worked with Eddie from 1980, so the Playing for Keeps album, and then after that, so, you know, some big stuff, to Eddie Reddy in 1999. And, you know, he's simply saying he hasn't been paid what he, with Eddie money contractually agreed to pay him. So he's going after it. The estate will have to litigate it or settle. And, you know, we'll see who prevails. It sounds like this one's pretty cut and dried too.
I'd like a check for how much?
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million. That's a decent chunk of change.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, that's worth suing for if it's something you're legitimately owed.
Keep the lights on for a while.
The Stones are number one on the album charts.
Again, this is a bit of a they set a couple records.
Well, a couple weeks ago, we had Phil Collins, who's in the air tonight, jump back up because of a YouTube video, right?
Right, right.
Sold a zillion copies.
Right. With the Stones, so Goat's Head Soup was number one in the UK in 1973. It is number one in the UK in 2020 because they put out a box set expanded edition. Really good one, by the way. It has some great unreleased stuff on it. So this marks not only the longest gap between the same album hitting number one, but also makes the Rolling Stones the first band in the world to have number one albums in each of six decades. So from the 60s through to now the 2020s, they've had at least one number one album in each decade, 13 number one albums overall.
It wouldn't be a week of music news if we didn't talk about Britney Spears trying to wrestle back her freedom.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if it's wrestling back her freedom or just kind of changing the arrangement. So the conservatorship arrangement, you know, which her dad has led, it has been up in the air. You know, it's time for renegotiation. This hit whatever 5-year, 10-year mark. So they're going back and forth, and some different things are being done. This year, Britney's lawyers are hitting really hard, saying that, look, you know, the Jamie Spears, the dad, after denying for months and resisting any structural change through the conservatorship, this year he acquiesced and added a co-conservator, and Britney's lawyers are basically saying, you know, that only added expense. These people charge far too much anyway. It's time to eliminate the thing, you know, hashtag free Britney. You know, that's what this is all about. So, you know, it's going to go in front of a judge. You know, at some point the judge is going to take it away and rule on it.
And you know? Vinyl outsold DVDs this year. Not really a surprise.
No, vinyls. I sold CDs this year.
Yeah, CDs.
And DVDs for that matter. But okay. Yeah, but even then, you look at the actual figures and they're a little bit, they're not huge figures. You know, the big figures are the downloads.
Absolutely.
And I guess purchasing is actually, you know, surprisingly, is up a little bit since March. You know, since the virus hit, people seem to be purchasing more than just, you know, streaming. Or streaming's still bigger, but purchasing's up.
And yeah, because when you're streaming something, you don't have to get up every 20 minutes and flip the record.
No, well, but if you download something too, you wind up essentially streaming it on your computer.
Yeah. So, all right, Gary, Packers Lions this weekend.
Yeah, enjoy the exhibition.
You are way too underconfident.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when we talk next week. Hopefully, I'll be talking about a 2-0 Steelers team.
Oh, there you go. All right. The team you really love. All right.
Exactly.
All right, Gary, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, be safe out there.
Gary Graff, our music expert.